and had a chance to be a viable team that could have even gone to the finals here. Now, I do think one of the things that's notable about Doublelift winning this award is I do like it in as much as for his legacy, it would be a tragedy if this guy finished his NALCS career without a minimum of one MVP award. Like, I actually think if you go back over the splits, I think he was the MVP of at least one split in the past, maybe even two. So even though I hate that as a reason to give someone an award now, like, for example, I think it was debatable as to whether Kobe Bryant was the 2008 MVP. I think you could really have made a good case for LeBron James, for Chris Paul. But the reason Kobe Bryant absolutely won the MVP that split at season is because that was the first season where he had an elite team again. And so when he'd been the best player in the NBA for the last 3, 4, 5 years, it didn't matter because his team wasn't the best and wasn't getting high placings. So by that old traditional sports media criteria that they thought up in the NBA for the last 20, 25 years, at that point in time, yeah, he was the MVP, and they sort of gave it to him because even if he wasn't the clear-cut best player, it was a way to make up, seemingly, for past errors in him never having won an MVP. And obviously, he never would have won an MVP if he hadn't have got it then. So for that logic, yeah, obviously, I like that Doublelift wins it. I don't personally like that logic generally, but then again, he got robbed in some splits in the past. So sorry, someday. I mean, maybe your time comes in the future when you get a really good team. I think it's kind of fucked up, but you know, you got to take it into consideration. Personally, I think Doublelift should have, this should be either his second or his third MVP. The one that stands out very clearly in my mind is, listen, I'm a big fan of Bjergsen. I think he's an amazing player. But I think if you go back to summer 2016, I think he was playing much more conservative, and he was in no way the super carry that he was in season 4, summer, in season 5, for the entire year. I think that's when Bjergsen is your MVP of the league. Season 6, summer, when TSM just dominates the whole league, Doublelift's the best player on that team. He's the main carry. He's the one outclassing his lane opposition the most. So for me, that should have been a Doublelift MVP. And that was the one where Bjergsen won it by 117 ballot points to 106. And Doublelift actually got 17 first place votes. So in this particular split of the LCS, I'll put forward three candidates that I think are all very legitimate in their own right as the MVP of this split of NALCS. So first and foremost would be my vote, and that is Doublelift from TSM, the AD carry. So one of the things I think has been great about Doublelift is he's had another fantastic individual split, but he's done that in terms of just the pure, I'm the AD carry, I kill people in my lane, I do damage in my lane, I don't lose my lane, I go to the late game, I kill people in team fights, I get kills, I play safe, because at least in the late game he did play safe when he had proper teams around him. You do this and then you win the game. In terms of that basic job of the AD carry, he's done a fantastic job again. But you know what? He's done that in the past as well. Spring 2014, I thought he was fantastic in that role. I thought by the time in 2015, they got the team together. In fact, all of 2015, I thought he was very good at this position as well. I thought his team let him down at times. And then obviously they got it together with the better lineup for the summer last year. I think he's had that type of season before. What was different for me this time is that in CLG, when he started to win in that summer split, sure, I saw some changes there. But I have to say, I put a lot of it down to like good coaching, maybe even some of the mind games, Weldon stuff, where Weldon supposedly worked with him and helped him with the mentality a little bit. That's a small area, but we'll put that into the mix. Maybe it helped. Third detail, I've got to say, it felt like Aframu taking charge more, being more of the shot caller, coming from Doublelift's lane, working with him. We know Doublelift in the past had been at his best when he was Chouster, who's the guy who led him in lane and told him what to do and told him how to interact with the team. I put a lot of it down to these factors as well as him being this fantastic individual player. So that bump up in terms of success, I didn't put it all on Doublelift's back. You know, I always thought he was a fantastic player anyway, as I've just outlined, and already an MVP level candidate at his position in the past. But the key detail of this split for me is that now when you see him take his advantages in lane and extend them across the rest of the game, first of all, it's not that he extends them as in he's just a witness, he's just doing what people tell him in the mid game, then he gets to the late game where every great AD carry knows how to play and then dominates there. So it's either in lane early game or it's late game in the macro team fights. No, what's great now is now he takes these advantages out of lane, and now in the mid game and the early to mid game, he makes correct decisions that aren't just laning decisions of when to group, when to go somewhere, what to do at a certain point in time. You hear, I don't buy this thing that he's like the shot caller. I certainly think though he makes good calls within his position and context of his position related to the group. I certainly think he could be making good decisions there. And then later in the game, if he's a key threat in a late game team fight, he should be making certain calls based on the fact that he might know where he needs to position himself or where we need to go to get a fight for him that'll work for him. So I think in this sense, he's transitioned those advantages and made that aspect of his game a lot more than just being the very good individual AD carry. in a way that we hadn't seen in the past. And more importantly, there is no Afremu type asterisk to say, well, he's got this guy with him who probably told him something or seemed to have that effect to bring him out of him. Now he's working with Biofrost, a rookie. So actually, that's part of the reason why I see so much more from Double of this split and why I think actually he's the best player on TSM. I also think, in general, you look at it, now his mid-game is fantastic. That's why I always thought he had the issues before. That's where he could lose you a skirmish. That's where he would sometimes make a weird decision in terms of like the purchase he'd go back and get. Like he wasn't on the same page as the rest of the team in terms of where they thought the game was heading. That's where sometimes he could be kind of off message, as it was. But now it seems like he's much, much more on point in that particular sense.
There's like 50 guys in your all-time. No, in terms of all-time greatest AD carries, he's without a doubt in the 10 best AD carries to ever play League of Legends. Now, actually, 10 best isn't as crazy as it sounds, because if you actually start to put together a list, start thinking of the names that are going to be on your list. I did this myself before I did this, just to kind of test myself, where would I put my money. I think I would have Doublelift around like number 7 or number 8 in terms of best AD carries of all time. So yeah, I have people like Wei Zhao, Imp, Name, Uziai, Piglet, Deft, and then it was between him and Prey as to who I put on like number 7 or number 8. But okay, I'll give it to Prey for the moment since he has won tournaments. And so I'll say Doublelift's number 8. So he's the 8th best AD carry of all time. First and foremost, that's really good. Secondly, he's the only white guy on that list. I mean, yeah, I'll just leave that in because fuck it. He's the only Westerner on that list, actual Westerner, as in lived most of his life in the West. Actually, yeah, fuck it, I'm just going to leave that in. I don't even care. He's the only white guy, yeah, pretty fly for a white guy. In terms of level of play, so in line with the previous one, but how good are you actually in the game? Let's use the eye test. How good are you? Season 2, he was super strong, really good. Like, you know, all those problems, mispositioning, all this, being stubborn with champions, none of those mattered. That's how fucking good he was. The only person in the whole world who was better than him at AD carry was Wei Zhao. And that's because Wei Zhao had everything Doublelift had, and a better team, and no positioning mistakes, and crucially, like, a godlike intuitive sense. At the time, not to quite the degree that he transcended the game, but Wei Zhao was the closest to a faker of a position. He was the closest to a faker of the AD carry position that has ever existed. That's what Wei Zhao was in his prime in Season 2. So Doublelift can't fuck with that, but he was the closest human to that level, if you know what I mean. And in general terms, he was a god at AD carry. Now, this is something that goes heavily in Doublelift's favour. Think of the greatest teammates Doublelift's played with. I'll make a little list for you, and once you see this list, you'll see how fucking barren his teammates have been. And I'm going to be fair to them. I've seen them in all eras, so I'm not just going to look now and say that, oh, Latinum's shit now, so it was shit then. No. The best teammate Doublelift ever played with in the context of his era was early in Season 2, because you have to remember, Doublelift only joined CLG like right at the beginning of Season 2, like basically at the beginning of 2012, end of 2012, end of 2011, beginning of 2012. He never had any tournaments before 2012 with CLG, LAN tournaments. The best teammate Doublelift ever played with in the context of his era was actually early Season 2, Saint Vicious, the guy who left in like, I think it was like end of April, early March, I think it was end of April, was when he got kicked from the team. That was the best teammate Doublelift's ever played with. As in, at that particular time, Saint was still like top 3 or top 4 in the world as a jungler. He really was. He really was that good. And he was a star. He was a carry jungler. He had a great impact. He was a great teammate. That was part of what made that CLG team really function at that time, was the role that Saint played, offsetting the problems big for LP, and then crucially synergizing with Hotshot to cover up some of his holes that you'd see really exposed later in the season when Saint was gone. Saint really was the best player that Doublelift ever played with. Now, I know now people are going to think you have to blame him for. Now then, another factor you can judge him on in terms of greatness. Role within the team or responsibility for their success. This goes really well in Doublelift's favour. Almost every era of CLG where they had any success at all, he was the main reason behind it. The main reason, while he was in the team, obviously. By far in Season 2, no one else was coming even close. Season 3, he at least gave them some chances in some games, at least had some insane plays that kept them in games or gave them a chance to win. Always the carry in teamfights in general. Season 4, there were times when Link would be the main person, but overall, yeah, you've got to give him credit there. He was the one pushing it through in the bot lane, and crucially, him adapting in terms of Monty's coaching was a big part of why they were able to get some of those wins. I think you have to give him a lot of credit there. Admittedly, part of it goes in the fact he had some fucking bum-ass teammates who weren't even good at the game. That's true. That's going to make you look better as well. But no, we have to give him a lot of credit in this particular case. He is up there in that specific scenario with Uziai in terms of significance to team wins. Factors? Let's talk about him as a player. His style of play, first of all. Style of play is very aggressive. A little bit too aggressive in some senses, but very, very aggressive. Now, a lot of AD carries can get away with looking potentially better in terms of stats, or if they're in a better team, they can win the game without having as much impact by playing a little bit more conservative. In this particular case, I actually have to give Doublelift credit, because if he hadn't had that all-or-nothing approach, his career would have been way worse. One thing I've always liked about Doublelift in general was that if his scoreline was 1-3-1, and his team was losing by 10 kills, there's no way he's going to end that game 2-3-1 or 1-4-1. That's not going to happen. He's going to end that game either 1-7-2, or he's going to end the game like 4-6-2, or he's going to end the game, you know, well, maybe you'd win. So maybe you'd end the game like 7-2-3. That's the point. He's going to make plays. He's going to go for it. He's going to force the action when it's in a bad situation. That's something I've always respected, actually. The way, if you're a carry AD carry, and you're the star player of your team, you're the best one, and you're the AD carry, that's how you should play. You should never let your team go down and get choked out outside of it. Now, in terms of mechanics, his mechanics are phenomenal. I think he's definitely, without a doubt, the best Western player ever for just raw mechanics. Like, I think X-Special's a little bit more crafted, a little bit more refined in terms of mechanics, as in X-Special rarely makes mechanical mistakes, but X-Special plays a less mechanically intensive role, and Doublelift's level of his peak of what he can do with his mechanics is higher. There's no NA player even comes close in terms of mechanics. In terms of Western players, now again, someone like Froggen has a mechanical skill the same sort of degree, but it's polished, it's refined, there's less mistakes. But in terms of raw mechanics, there's not that many can match Doublelift. Yeah, you got Reckless, he's up there. You got Froggen. Who else would we put there? Yeah, probably Xpeke for just raw offensive skill, for sure. Xpeke. It's getting down there now. We're not got many names left at this point. I think they're probably the ones that we can even be in the conversation with. So he's top five or top six or whatever in terms of the whole West ever mechanics. Very, very strong mechanics. So first of all, the trash talking. Because the first thing you notice about him, I think it's one of the best qualities about him. If I was him, I think he's made a mistake here, like I'm going to go into. Where I actually think the trash talking, especially when he was really good in season 2, made an awesome mystique about him as a person that was really good. Listen, you knew it wasn't all 100% true. You knew some of it was bravado, being like a braggadocious sort of guy. But you knew there was some truth to it. That's the key thing. You knew that some of it was, and you knew that it also came from an idea that I am better. I'm better than you. I'll beat you. Even if you beat me, doesn't matter. I was better in my position than you. It's actually like a cool personality. We all know why we love those sports stars like Mike Tyson, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. These guys are great, great players, and they're all trash talkers. And this idea, by the way, in the modern world that everyone's been brainwashed into of like, well, you should respect your opponents, and if you were really that good players, get like fucking some Riot Light shit. Like, great players are the ones who play well in the game and make their teammates feel good. Like, shut up. That's not even the case at all. And it isn't the case that every great teammate every great player in every sport shook hands with the opponent and said, oh, well done, mate, you're really good, and oh, I got to commend you, you're a great player. That's not the case at all. Some of the greatest of all time, we're talking assholes who shit on their opponent and was like, fuck you, bitch, and just walked away like a pimp. Yeah, that's the way it was. I'm sorry, learn about history. Now, I thought the trash talk made him cool. I thought it was awesome. And crucially, it was backed up by his exceptional level. Now, what were the problems here? First of all, he couldn't maintain that persona without it becoming like a WWE joke level, because in season 3, his team became so fucking bad and then his level dropped off that I have to admit it wouldn't have worked anymore. So unfortunately, when he was losing to bad teams and fucking bad players, like losing the velocity, etc., well, you can't really be talking mad shit like just buku shit on people like, haha, I'm still one of the best in the world, your shit. Do you play Draven? You're trash then. Like, you can't really be doing that anymore. You have to, unfortunately, he had to sort of give away ground there just to become not a parody of himself. Now, with that said, I've always felt like when he was in his prime periods, I think that being humbled by the poor results, which you can't really argue against no matter who you are or how cocky you are, if you keep having shit results, eventually you can't even claim that you were great the whole time. You have to sort of cede some ground. Part of the problem with that is when he has those periods that he was really good, I think that he felt too burned by the backlash of the fans that he's never truly wanted to embrace the trash talk again. His version of trash talk now is so watered down compared to season 2. His version of trash talk is just trash talk for the Riot censored kid gloves era of where you're supposed to say, no, I think that Cop's a great player and I really respect his game, and he played a very excellent game that time. We were just better. His team made mistakes and we had a better pick ban phase. Like, instead, if you're literally like, if you already were a godlike AD carry on the level of like Uzi, etc., and you're playing Cop, you should be like, well, I was playing Cop. He's not even in my level. Why is he even in the same league as me? There should be a separate league for me and Kopp, because players like us aren't the same type. We're not the same animal. He's a pit. I'm a pit bull. He's a poodle. That's what you really should be like if your level's that great and you have that persona. That's how it should be expressing itself when you're on top and you're in position to be like that.
Season 8 comes along. He moves to a totally different org, again released by his team. CLG cut him, TSM cut him, goes to another org, goes ahead and wins the LCS with Team Liquid. Coming from what? Fifth seed or something? Had to play basically all the teams in the best teams in the LCS in the playoff run. Wins it, only loses one game along the route. And that's with his personal family tragedy. Didn't stop him performing well. Didn't stop him being a very good player still and winning another title. And for me, that makes this title, it already was special by being, you know, three different orgs to win the LCS, which no one's done. But winning in light of that background context, that makes this legendary ship as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's the funny thing. One of the ways people used to mock Doublelift before he won with CLG was they used to link to a subreddit called Doublelift's Trophy Case. And the whole joke was, well, it's empty, isn't it? The subreddit's empty. His trophy case is empty. Ha ha, loser. Ha ha, talking shit. You haven't got anything. People used to harp on this. People used to blame him for his team's failures because he was a focal point. They'd be like, you're the one who's too toxic and you're breaking your team up and all the rest of it. Let's just stop a second and consider something. The idea that he wasn't good because he wasn't winning and that he was the reason his teams didn't win, I'm calling bullshit on that. It wasn't the case skill-wise or as a teammate. It's bullshit. Now, first of all, skill-wise, he was always good enough. And except for times at Season 3, I think he was always one of the best Western AD carries. And in fact, one of the best, I'd say top 10 in the world most of these seasons, even if he didn't make Worlds. Then in terms of the idea of, like, as a teammate, was he the main reason? No. He was certainly a reason why some of those players had issues, but they had issues of their own anyway. I think you would have saw that with or without him. I think you have seen that with or without and with other certain teammates.
Now, you know you never catch me, Dolo, online, because I'm rolling deep, and we dem boys. Who am I talking about? The Skrilluminati. So this video and the content on my channel is kindly supported by Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Jason, you know who my second in command is, Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for some of my content? Would you like to ask me a question in an AMA? Do you want to take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic? Maybe you want to see who upcoming guests are in my interviews and on my talk shows. Well, all of these perks and more are available to you if you put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. How? Via the Patreon link in the description box below.